Father. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. We're so thankful for all you've done for us, for all you're doing in us, and for the much more that we know you would do for us. Thank you, Father, for your word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We approach you with reverence, with fear and trembling. Thank you for clarity is ours, strength is ours, and your might becomes mightily available for us to walk in and for us to prevail. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Glory to God. Let's have our seat. Praise God forevermore. Good evening. How are we today? Luke chapter 18. We are looking at the subject of prayer. And we've titled this, The Supply of the Spirit to Prayer. Okay, so because the tendency to forget. And sometimes we give a title so that it will help us to have a focus. We want to teach about prayer, and our emphasis is the supply of the Spirit through prayer. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, Jesus laid a foundation. And it's important that we remind ourselves that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And so everything he says and everything he teaches in his teachings are not different from the teachings we find in the Holy Scriptures. His teachings rather throw light and bring clarity to what we find in the Holy Scriptures. So in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Interestingly enough, that phrase "to this end" is italicized. So if you remove it, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now, remember, this is before he went to the cross. So, Jesus is saying something extremely crucial with respect to God's original plan for man. He says, God's design for man is that man ought always to pray and not to faint. And the implication of that is that the opposite of prayer is fainting. The opposite of prayer is fainting. Again, faint here is old English for to give up. That's what the word faint means. It's old English for to give up. So Jesus is saying, men ought always to persevere in prayer and not to give up. And he gave a parable. And last week we looked at that parable and we said something very important. Go with me into that parable now. This is what he said. "There was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary." Notice, this is a parable. You'll never take more from a parable than the end or the conclusion or the message is meant to pass across. So there was a judge, there was a widow. Now, whenever the Bible uses the word widow, widow in Bible language just speaks about somebody who is desolate and destitute. Somebody that has no natural help or assistance. That's what the word widow means. So it's a parable. Notice there's a judge. Somebody who has the power to agree or to disagree. Now, look at what it says. But look at the character of that judge. It doesn't regard man and it doesn't fear God. Now, look at the next thing. What did the widow say? And there was a widow in that city. She came unto him saying, she came to the judge saying, she was saying something, which is prayer. "Avenge me of my adversary, or let judgment be in my favor." And look at verse 4. "And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself." He said within himself, "Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Now, I want you to notice something that you may not have paid attention to on the surface. The Bible doesn't say that the widow kept coming. The Bible doesn't say she kept coming. It was the unjust judge who said on the inside, "If I don't respond, based on the pressure she's exerting as she acts, she may keep coming. And if she keeps coming, she will wear me out." In other words, there was something about the posture of that particular widow that convinced the unjust judge, "I need to give her what she wants. She doesn't need to say it a second time." Hallelujah. So there was a resolution, there was a determination which we spoke once. So she prayed at that time. Now, this is a parable. Now, look at what happens next. And he would not for a while, verse 4. And after what he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The word avenge also means to pass judgment in her favor. Remember, this widow, this judge, does not fear God. He doesn't regard man. So, in fact, they call him the unjust judge. Good. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said. So, this is God's side. So, there's a widow, there's an unjust judge, and then there's God. So, the unjust judge is not God. He now says, hear what the unjust judge said. He says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Though he bear long with them. And sometimes the way it is phrased, that's where the confusion is. To bear long actually means he's putting up with their weaknesses and their inability to persist. Yet his intention is to avenge them speedily. He's putting up to bear long with them. He's bearing with their infirmity, with their inability to persist in place of prayer. Yet he has only one intention in mind. He wants to avenge them speedily. Look at what it says again. Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Can you see that? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Faith on the earth. Now, again in verse 1, what is the parable about? That men ought always to what? Pray. Men ought always to pray. So, Jesus is interpreting men persisting in prayer as an act of faith. Let me say it again. A man that persists in prayer is actually demonstrating what? Faith. Now, in this situation, where is the faith? Where is the faith? That's the question. Where is the faith? You know, this parable is so crucial to how the mind of man works, how situations and circumstances work. A widow, an unjust judge, and then God, the onlooker. And God, who is the onlooker, is saying, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? What is he calling faith? The persistence of the widow. Notice what the persistence produced, the unjust judge gave him. And Jesus calls that faith. God sees that action as what? Faith. In other words, the reason why the widow persisted, she knew she was on her right. She knew also that she shouldn't search for anything less than the answer she was looking for. He now says, if the unjust judge can be persuaded and change his mind, even though he's unjust, God who doesn't need to change his mind, God who is just, God who is fair, don't you think he will speedily respond? Jesus is giving the parable to show that more often than not, when we are dealing with an unjust judge, we think we are dealing with God. We are dealing with an unjust judge, we think we are dealing with God. Now, again, last week, we looked at James chapter 1 from verse 5. James tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men and upbraideth not, and it shall be what? Given him. He gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask how? In faith. Nothing wavering. So if you put that side by side with Luke chapter 18, notice, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith? So what is Jesus calling faith again? Persistence in prayer. Can you see that now? So notice again, James is saying, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. If you put that side by side with Luke chapter 18, Jesus said, God avenges speedily, or he responds immediately, isn't it? So God responds immediately. But the man who is asking should ask in faith. So ask in faith, therefore, will be, you know, God responds immediately. So why are you persisting? It can't be to persuade God. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Where does wavering occur? In the heart of the man. With respect to receiving or not receiving, it has everything to do with the man, not God. What is God's position? God gives. God gives to all. God gives liberally. That is not reluctantly. He gives an open hand. And God does not find fault. That's important. I use an illustration. I'm not sure if it was last week or week before, about the issue of, let's say for instance now, issues, for instance, let's say with conception. It's not always about the fact that the people that are involved that don't have faith. There are several issues. There could be genetic issues, hereditary issues. There could be other issues upon the earth. Adam is responsible for ensuring there's inequality upon the earth as it is now. He is directly responsible. So many times, because God is not the one who supervises who has a child or not. Not God that does that. What God simply does is He gave man the ability to produce. He gave him a choice whether to do so or not to do so. Now, if God is strictly in charge, for instance, and God wants you to have a child, and you are a couple, and you don't want to have a child, and you use family planning, strong one, you will not have. Somebody say, what does that mean? You blocked God. You blocked God. That's how powerful man is. You stop God, in quotes. In other words, you have to agree, because the earth has been given to the children of men, and on the earth, you have a right. You may not have a moral right, but you have a legal right. The right may not be moral, but it may be it's legal because you are a man. Once you are a man, see, let me give an illustration to make it legal. Because when it comes to such cases, we ask God to help us to sort out why a man and a woman come together and a child is not coming, since he designed that a child should come. How do you know he designed it? Mad women get pregnant and they ought not to. If God is supervising, he knows a mad woman can't take care of a child. So we ensure when you rape a mad woman, she won't get pregnant. God can ensure it if he was directly in charge. But he's not in charge. He put a law into motion. People can use the law for good or for what? Evil. Why do we pray against evil and calamity? Because there are men who are yielded to demonic spirits and they have a right to practice evil. A legal right, not a moral right. If they plant a bomb in the wrong place, guess what? It will explode if nobody prays. Do they have a moral right? No. What about legal right? Yes. If the bomb doesn't explode, it will take divine intervention. Why? Because the man that is planting it is a man and is on earth. And he has the right to exercise his will. So when we pray, what we are doing is to, let me use this phrase, your hands will not be able to perform their enterprise. It disappoints the vice of the crafty, so that their hands cannot what? Perform their what? Enterprise. So somebody is praying and has a legal right to also pray. The same way that other person has a legal right to plant a bomb. Somebody has a legal right to pray that bomb will not work because it will affect other lives. I hope you understand. So when you say things like, we don't know what God is doing, they enter the house, they kill everybody, including children, you don't understand. The earth has it given to the children of men. In other words, if we don't pray, evil will keep happening. If we pray, good will keep happening. I hope you understand. Good. So it's not God. It's a failure on man's part. Because what God does is that God is not a man, but God uses men. And to introduce God in a situation, men will have to pray. And Jesus is saying, God is standing. He has a posture. He wants to avenge speedily. But the man has to persist, not to convince God, but the unjust judge, which mostly has to do with the unrenewed mind. You have four reasons why God should not answer. God has none. He gives to all. He gives liberally. He doesn't find fault. He doesn't have all. You know, the Bible says, there is therefore now no what? Condemnation. Now, I'm not saying you should sin. Don't sin. Don't walk in sin. Say amen. But when you miss it, when you've not, let me use that illustration, so I don't think that, because you ought to pray. You should feel funny when you don't pray in the morning. If you feel somehow, you should feel incomplete. If you don't feel incomplete, you're not in good state. You should know something is missing, like maybe, like the same way, why is every illustration I want to use with you, I'm just stopping. I wonder if you're a man and you're going out and you forgot your belt. Well, you know this generation. They don't even use belts. I don't understand. Am I old? I'm a young man. The way they do something, like, how can somebody forget to brush it? I don't understand it. You forgot to brush your teeth. How did you forget? Is it just one of those things or is it? I don't understand. There's some things that are supposed to be like, when you wake up, it's just like normal. So when you say that, it's like saying I forgot to bath. You forgot to bathe. How did you forget to bathe? I forgot to comb my hair. That's men. You some of them on the road, the comb is in their head. And they've forgotten the comb. You know, most men don't look at mirror. Whether it is right or not, it's just going. Then the boy that's comb is in the bus. You understand what I mean? So, but how can you forget to beat? Or you forgot to wear your shoe? Some things don't sound like, I mean, it's like, your vision has in an inquiry. You can forget to wear your shoe if you're wearing maybe palm. and you just put some things on your feet, but not when you are barefooted. How can you say that? That means the ground is comfortable. So there are some things that you should do. When you have not prayed, you should feel undressed. Like, I'm not complete. The one Paul says we should put on the whole armor, we'll get there. I pray that we'll get there. What he was talking about was prayer. When he says you should put on the whole armor, he was talking about prayer. Because towards the end, you will hear him say that. Element of salvation. Okay, and then he talks about the shield of faith. And I said, I'm taking the word of God, praying always. Praying always. So to put on requires prayer. To put on the whole armor. So it's like, you are going out, no armor. You are going out, no armor. How do you... You must get to that point where if you have not prayed, you feel something is not like right. Like you're washing your feet with your socks on, something like that. You just feel like... So when you don't feel that way, it means you've strayed away from prayer for so long, you're not comfortable not praying. That's what it means. So because Jesus said, men ought always to pray. He didn't even give a prayer point. There's a problem because we think prayer is about prayer points. If you study Jesus in the four Gospels, you will discover that he spoke about him praying. We were hardly told what he was praying about. We could only infer what he was praying from the events that happened. It means to pray, she's like breathing for a man according to God's plan. You should just breathe prayer. It's like you are in constant communion, constantly inviting, constantly having God's consciousness and power to bear on situations of life. There's no greater way to show that you are humble or you trust God. No greater way to show. He asked Wiggles Word, what is the secret to your miraculous ministry? He said, I don't pray more than 30 minutes. Starting, that's a secret. Until you hear the other part. I don't go more than 30 minutes without prayer. You hear what I said? I don't pray more than 30 minutes. And I don't go more than 30 minutes without prayer. What does that mean? He prays all the time. He said, if you're ever invited to Wiggles Word out, or you happen to be the one to pray over your dinner, first of all, your husband got to say, let's read the scripture before we eat. Must read the scripture before he eats. And if you haven't started praying, just drop your fork. Because you don't know when you finish. I heard the same thing was with Apostle. That one was even worse. Apostle Ababola. So when he starts praying, no mortal man can eat. Because everybody will leave the food. Because 5 hours after, he's still praying. And he starts to say, let's pray over the food. He starts praying over food. He has prayed for nations. Pray for. Let's pray. Just know you are not going to eat again. By the time it starts. Now, it's not deliberate. It's a consciousness. God has found somebody to breathe through. God has found somebody to breathe through. But that's what God is doing. His activities upon the earth is always within the atmosphere of prayer. God's activities. It's always within the atmosphere of prayer. All the activities of God are always within the atmosphere of prayer. That's what God does. Think about it. You're a minister of the New Testament. How many times have you tried to minister in whatever capacity, in worship or teaching, and you noticed that there was a manner in which you ministered that was different after you've prayed? And you know sometimes when you pray and when you really pray, you know what I'm talking about. There's an ease that you have in spiritually. The way you will flow, you feel like it is be happening every Sunday, every service. But you know it's not about me, it's about something you did right, isn't it? That means you prayed until you got to a place. There was a release. You know the hand of God is upon you. It's not that God was in a good mood. It's that you did something right. You hit a curve. And the grace of God flowed freely. So the person that is inconsistent is not God. It is you. If you pray the same way, you get the same result again. If you pray the same way, you get the same results again. It's not that God just anointed you that day for that day alone. No. You prayed in a particular way. You go back and check. And there was a flow. Because you pray in a particular way. When he says men ought always to pray, he speaks about a continuous activity. Again, the emphasis is not prayer points. The emphasis is that you breathe and live prayer. That's why I always say that as you are going about your normal activities every day, the minute you are doing something that does not involve your mouth, you can always be praying quietly under your breath. Because what you are doing is that you are maintaining an atmosphere of sensitivity towards whatever leading that God may want to give. A man that prays is sensitive. Hallelujah. A man that prays is sensitive. Listen, you cannot guarantee that God will always give you a spectacular leading. I mean, even know that. But God will always lead you. But you cannot guarantee to always what? Spectacular. I know you will like an angel to appear to you, but you can't guarantee it. Something that's life-threatening, you may be surprised that an angel will not appear. It may be something just light or something small. I don't know how many times, as a pastor, situations have come up. Some life-threatening. Concerning people, members of the local assembly. And when they call me, I'll be listening to what they are saying. I'll just be listening. And the reason why I'm listening, I'm checking my heart to see if a burden settles. The minute the burden settles, I know there's danger. I know I need to start praying. So many times when I say, don't worry, everything will be fine. Don't worry, everything will be fine. I've picked up that issue is not unto death. But the matter will be resolved. I prayed and prayed and prayed. See, we had, I still have that neighbor particularly. The husband was kidnapped. And she called. And she was hysterical on the phone. They kidnapped my husband. On his way to the north. They have kidnapped him. They've called me. They are beating him up. They're demanding ransom. They said they are going to kill him. This is my neighbor. So she was hysterical. Now, if I stay long on the phone, she will transfer that fear to me. What's she asking for? Deliverance and help. So I said, I will call you, but I caught the phone. Then I began to pray. Now, as I was praying, because in prayer, you open your heart to God, isn't it? So in prayer, I was processing the information. I was praying. I was reaching to God. I was praying. Men ought always to pray. Salvation is of God. Deliverance is of God. Vain is the help of man. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. That's what the scripture says. So I began to pray. I began to pray. Concern this person. I began to pray. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until on the inside, I had no fear he would die. That was number one. Number two, I heard God speak very clearly. He will be back on Sunday. Now, that doesn't make sense with the news you just heard. They say they are beating him, that they will kill him. But if I continue listening to what she's saying, that's what you will carry into prayer. You will not be able to separate fear from the body. Hallelujah. I hope you are sometimes saying. Because praying regularly this way makes your heart sensitive. Your heart just becomes sensitive to picking up leader. There will be nothing wrong in the atmosphere. Nothing wrong with the atmosphere. And that's why, let me say this also. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This year in particular, if you can write it on the wall of your room, write it there. You can chant it to yourself, chant it there. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 8 must become your regular meditation. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 8. How many of you listen to the morning exhortation? I pray you listen. I hope you don't just... The things that I send in the morning, if you understand the way my ministry is, you will know it's strictly by inspiration. How many of you have listened before? You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes tongues and interpretation flows there also. Please listen. No, my own job is to give it to you. I'm hearing, I'm practicing, then you. I'm not going to come to your house and force you to eat. But I'm giving the food. You are supposed to eat it. It's important. Everything God is saying this season. What I'm sharing, I've been trying to stop since December. I've not been able to stop. Normally, every December, during my retreat period, I stop teaching. The Spirit of God said, don't stop teaching this time around. Prepare people for the things I said, don't stop teaching. So for the first time, even during my retreat, I kept sending the messages I kept because he said, don't stop. This time I have no break. Don't stop. Just continue straight. How many of you know I didn't stop? I didn't take any break. How many of you have been starting now? There was no break. This is the first time there will be no break. Because it's important that you get to understand. Look at Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your and mind. The word keep means to mount guard, to act like a sentry over your heart and mind, which is where persuasion or wavering occurs. And where there's wavering, you won't receive. When there's persuasion, you will receive. So it says, and the peace of God will be like a guard over your heart and mind. That is monitoring what goes in, what comes out. And that peace, if you follow that exhortation, you will know. Because sometimes it's God saying something to you specifically that produces calmness. That's what happened to me in that place of prayer. He said, on Sunday, we'll be back home. Tell her on Sunday, we'll be back home. So I called her back and said that, don't worry, on Sunday, we'll be back home. And of course, it was back home on Sunday. It was back home on Sunday. That happened, I think, when it was on the Friday that it happened. It was back home on a Sunday. So I was not afraid because I heard what God said. Now, look at what happens. Look at next verse. Look at verse 8. How do you get it? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things I want, true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are what? Good report. If there be any virtue, let me please think on these things. Think on these things. Look at next verse. Those things which you have both learned and received and had and seen in me do, and what? The God of peace shall be with you. Let me rephrase that. And the peace of God shall be manifest in you. Because the God of peace is with you, That's a figure of speech for, and the peace of God shall be manifest in you. Notice what you are thinking on, because when I say be sensitive when you are praying, the reason why some people can't be sensitive is that you're already burdened. The strife you carry is a burden already. Your unforgiveness is already a burden. You know when somebody is naturally almost always depressed, who don't know when is a burden or when you are just being yourself? May that not be you as yourself? You know what I'm talking about? It's not means if you are joyful, you will know if something comes in. But if you are always like moody, as some people tell them, say that they are melancholic, even claim the temperament. You don't understand. I'm Sagittarius. Who gave you the... They are reading horoscope. They have not read Bible in horoscope. The reason why my mood is like this because, you know, I'm Sagittarius. Who gave you Sagittarius? You are the circumcision. The Bible never asks you to do what you cannot do. It says whatever things are lovely, true, just, honest, love of good report, you are to think. That means this is how to stabilize your heart. This is what you should meditate on consistently. So that when something contrary comes in, it will be easy for you to pick up and to know that this is what is going on. Whatsoever things are true, and the God of peace, or the peace of God shall be manifest in you or for you. That's what it means. Hallelujah. So let's go back to prayer. Hallelujah. So where are we now? So, James chapter 1 verse 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like the wave of the sea. Let not a man think he shall receive what? Anything of the Lord. That's where wavering is something you settle. You sort out wavering. Why? You persist. Let him ask in faith. What is faith? You persist. Knowing God is not the variable. God is not causing the delay. You are putting pressure and you are pressing through until answers come. That's what you are doing. Now, let me show you something which is actually supposed to be where the text comes from. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians, before we read chapter 1, I think we should read chapter 2. Chapter 2, see what it says? Verse 13 or verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. The word fear is reverence. Okay? For it is God which worketh where? In you, both to will and to what? Do of his good pleasure. Now look at what it says. It says, do all things without murmurings and what? Disputings. Let me say this. Men who have a solid walk with God have discovered that changes in the environment with respect to pressure and difficulty always signals the coming of a new season. Let me say it again. Men who have learned from their walk with God, who have a rich history of working with God, have discovered that changes in the environment, situations and circumstances, always signals a new season. So, the changes come to everyone knocking on the door. It will appear as affliction and difficulty. You must have a proper response to the situation. Notice it is God that worketh not outside. He works in you. Both to will and to do what is his good pleasure. So he doesn't work outside. He works where? In you. He now says, in your response, do all things without what? Murmurings and disputings. Let me say it another way. When pressure comes, you either pray or you complain. You can't do both. When pressure comes, you either pray or you complain. You can't do both. And believe me, it's very real. If you're a parent, this is the season. There's something called school fees. You feel like asking, that one we paid before, is it already finished? Yes, it's finished. Then they have added to it. Now, what will you do? Pray or complain? Choose one. What's that pressure? Is another opportunity to see God's faithfulness. Or another opportunity to go under. Choose one. Do all things. Now, you are going to do. You are the one who is responsible for the action. What is God's part? It will work in you. It will work in you, both to will and to do. Then the doing is yours. This is what, when you are responding, make sure you do all things without murmurings and what? Disputings. That's what you should do. So, you either murmur in response to the challenge, or you pray in response to the challenge. Pressures of life are not, so to speak, geographically directed towards you alone. No, they are for everybody. But the response that you have is what determines whether victory will be wrought or not. That's what makes a difference. This is when you are reacting, make sure nothing is done with complaint. Because you know what the interesting part? After you complain, the situation doesn't change. Or something happens on your inside. It doesn't change. The landlord suddenly increases rent. You become depressed. Because you also got news in the money that school fees has increased. After you become depressed, neither of them will change their mind. Have you noticed that? No. Rice is now 95,000 naira. You are getting depressed. That has become 95,000 naira. It wasn't that when it was 60, you could afford it. So it's like, I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Even when it was 50, if you couldn't afford it, now that it's 95, please, what's the difference? So question is that even common sense says don't get depressed. Just pray. Why? God is your helper, a very present help when the time of need. It is taking your eyes off the helper that makes you complain. Where is he walking? Not around you. He's walking where? In you. Both to will and to do. That is, there's what to do. And there's an ability within that can be prayed out if you learn how to trust him, no matter what the situation is. That's why I always tell people, the minute you hear a decision or a report, be careful about your first response. It says a lot about what is going on. I'm not even saying that you will not be afraid or you will not be shaken. I'm saying your first response goes a long way to either establish what you heard or establish what God will do. Your first response. It really, really matters. Now, Philippians 1, verse 15, when we pray. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So, Paul was in bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I daring do rejoice, yea, and will what? Rejoice. Now, look at the next verse. For I know that these shall turn to my what? Salvation, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Notice, I know that these shall turn. So it was in bonds. It now says the situation will be turned around. It will be through your prayer, and your prayer will minister a supply of the Spirit. Notice, your prayer will minister a supply of the Spirit. So within the prayer of the saints is a supply of the Spirit. It's not something that is done in 10 minutes. I know this shall turn. And he was talking to a whole church. It will be through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus. Supply of the Spirit of Jesus. So when we pray, there is something about our prayer and the supply of the Spirit. When we pray as a church, for instance, or you pray as a believer, in different situations, you are making a supply of the Spirit available. James 5:16 says, for the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power of God available that is dynamic in its what? Working. Earnest, heartfelt, continued. That's the faith part. Earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power or the supply of the Spirit what? Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody was querying certain operations that they saw in a particular ministry, Rivers Love World. And then somebody said, do you know how many hours he spent in praying and fasting behind what you see as those healing meetings? When demons live with ease and people are getting healed with ease, it's more than just the anointing of the man of God. The whole ministry is praying, and the ministry that's in hundreds of thousands. And they plan prayer long before the activity, and they are doing it on the world scale. And the supply of the Spirit is being administered to that one man, and also to those who are backing up the worship leaders. So there's so much of the supply of the Spirit that demons can actually stand. Hallelujah. Demons can't stand because there's so much supply of the Spirit through prayer. So all the man, that's why he doesn't teach at those times when it comes to, he just starts ministry. Why? The power is already present. Just starts ministry in the power. A long prayer has gone ahead. So you see more instant miracles. It's more instant miracles. Jesus was anointed with that measure, and yet he will go a great while before it is day. A great while before it is day. Luke 5 and 16. A great while before it is day, Jesus will go up to pray and will come back. After he has finished ministering, look at Luke 5. And he redeemed himself in the wilderness and what? And prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day. Usually like quoting that one a lot. But look at what happened. Before it was day, he went to the wilderness. He separated himself from men and prayed. And this is somebody who is anointed with that measure. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark 1:35. See what it says. Mark 1. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into what? a solitary place, and there he what? He prayed. It was normal. Why was Jesus going to a solitary place? I can pray anywhere. I don't think so. It depends on what kind of prayer you want to pray. What was Jesus doing on a daily basis? Interacting with men. Who are men? Spirits who are subject to influence. As he was dealing with them. In fact, many times when you hear me, he has just gone to pray. People just encouraged him to stay. They praised him to sneak away from them and go and pray. He will come back in power of the Spirit and start ministering again. After I finish ministry, you say, I'm the anointed one. He will go back and pray. While you are dealing with men who are subject to influence. And that's how Jesus did ministry. Now, you are not anointed with that measure. He was anointed with that measure. And look at the practice. You know what it means for Jesus to go out into a solitary place? In today's language. Drop Facebook. Drop TikTok. Drop Instagram. That's contemporary language. Drop your phone. Have you discovered that if you show your phone, the world will not collapse? You have not discovered. You have not discovered that mystery. That the world will just go on. Then they may not have noticed that you are not even... They may notice for a while. It's like you have not been on Facebook for a while. Yes, and that's all. But you felt like, I don't check Facebook a day. No. He went to a solitary place. That means he didn't even take disciples along. He was speaking between him and God. And when he came back, it was a blessing to them and to others. He went, what was he doing? He was making a supply of the Spirit available consistently. In other words, he finished ministering. When evening came, if you check this Mark chapter 1, look at verse 28. Let's read for that. Let's go and see what it says. Immediately his fame spread about throughout all the world. And fourthly, when they were come out of synagogue, they entered the house of... Okay, go to verse 35. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him what? All that were diseased, and then they were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together where? At the door, the whole city. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not devils to speak, because they what? They knew him. So after he did that, what was next thing he did? And a great while before day, he went away to pray. And when he will come back again, he will start ministering. After he finished ministering, he will go back to go and pray. That means he has used the supply of the Spirit, he goes back for another supply. How many of you have something? Hallelujah. Every season requires a supply of the Spirit. Every season. Requires what? A supply of the Spirit. Every season requires a supply of the Spirit. One of the greatest mistakes we make is that at the eve of a new victory, we fold our hands and go to sleep. A minister of God said something, and I never forgot. I went for a national conference recently, and I just pick out some of those stories, and those are the kind of things that I write down quickly to bless me. He said, after a major convention, like Redeemed Christian Church of God, that congress that they have, that Pastor Deboye said, the minute they finish, he's writing the sermon for the next one, which is a year after. It's next year. He says, he already starts writing the notes now, immediately. You know what that means? No vacation. And you say they will not be anointed. You say it will not be powerful. I don't know if you understand. No, what do you think should happen after Congress? Go to Acapulco or Honolulu, which is not wrong in itself. As long as you are not taking a vacation for spiritual what? Activities. You say he starts writing thoughts and notes for the next Congress, which is supposed to be a year. But you feel like, a year. What's it? Say immediately. So you keep the thing fresh. Start picking thoughts. And that's why many of them will announce at the end of that meeting the date of the next one. Have you noticed that? They do. They plan ahead of it. In other words, they don't rest on their oars because the meeting was successful. They are looking for the next one. That's what they do. There's a supply of the Spirit needed for every season. A season has just passed. You prayed. You got thus far. You need another supply for the next season. You don't rest on your horse. There's nothing like that. You never arrive. It's a continuous journey. God's plans and purpose concerning your life moves from one phase to what? Another. So you need a greater push for the next level. When he was working miracles and doing those things alone, he will pray. He will spend some time praying. When he came to dealing with men, Jesus spent all night praying because of the will of men and how men can be. Hallelujah. How much more you and I? You go to work. At places of work, whether you work for the government or private company, witchcraft is everywhere. I hope you understand that. I hope you understand what I mean by witchcraft. I'm not talking about talisman, manipulations, men, politics, playing here and there. That if you don't pray, if somebody got to a top position in government. And he heard that, he said, every time he would get to the meeting point, he would discover that every new innovation he wants to initiate, he won't be able to do it. He would just go when he gets to the office. Once he sees those people who are under him, and he wants to initiate something, he won't be able to initiate it. He now began to fast and pray. And when he was praying one day, there was so much, such a supply of the Spirit, God told him that, when you get to the office, tell all of them to drop what's in their pockets. So what do you mean? He said, when you get to the office. He said, before you get to the office, before they get there, go there 2 hours before the meeting and pray in that place. So he went to the boardroom where they already have a meeting every time. He began to pray and pray. So everybody was shocked to find him in the place that they were. He was there before them. When he sat down, he said, before we have any meeting, we're going to have a word of prayer. After he finished praying, he said, everybody, open up. Drop what in your pocket. He started bringing out champs. That means they literally tied the man down. He couldn't do anything in that place because they were holding him back. They started bringing out, and I told them, the next time, I will pardon this and overlook this. But the next time this happens, I will show you the door. You're out of a job. They never tried it again. The effect of having prayer of a righteous man. It's true, sorcery can work against you, potentially. Divination can work against you, potentially. But that's not for those who don't pray. You know, it's like having power that you're not using. Hallelujah. The supply of the Spirit. I know this shall turn to my deliverance. It will be through your prayer. And what? The supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. The supply of the Spirit. So there's something about you and I praying continuously. And that's why the minute involves me. Thank God for prayer that changes things. For prayer that changes men takes a longer period of time and takes more persistence. Because men have a will. Men have a will. Look at the tenses that we have in the epistles. I cease not to pray for you. Making mention of you in my prayers. I cease not. What does that tell you? Continuous. We don't stop praying for saints. We always pray for saints. The brother you are complaining about, have you prayed about him or her? That sister is very saucy. Have you prayed? Some people call themselves Christians. Have you prayed? Is that how a Christian should behave? Have you prayed? If the behavior doesn't line up, did you pray for her? That she will stand perfect and complete in all the will of God? There are people you are complaining about that if you had prayed for them and they had put on the fruit of the Spirit, you'll be a beneficiary of it. Hallelujah. Why do we see so much flesh? Because not enough prayer is being made for people. That's the issue. And we're quick to judge once flesh comes up. But if you had spent time, Paul spoke to a whole church. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. In the knowledge of him. But it says, I cease not. I cease not. That's continuous. It's nothing like, I've prayed for you. No, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. The brother is not consistent. He plays truancy with church. You don't understand that there are distractions in the world. Everywhere you look, there are distractions. How many of you have woken up in the morning and just wanted to check whether there was any notification and then pray? And when you dropped your phone, it was 1 hour after you started. You know, raise your hand. As the carriage is where you don't want to go. It's a notification. You don't want to innocently. Even God sees your heart. Then you checked one. By the time you are through, you have checked 10. He has carried you to several places. And 1 hour has passed. The way the time even goes is miraculous. Because your mind is having fun, so it doesn't know time is passing. If you are spending that time praying, you'll be checking time. It's only 1 hour we are prayed. Why? The environment is designed to ensure you don't do anything spiritual. Meanwhile, life is spiritual. Life is what? You don't take anything at face value. People are misbehaving around you that are your loved ones. Children are misbehaving. Loved ones are misbehaving. Your husband is misbehaving. And instead of you to get into the spirit where things can work, you are in the flesh. When he comes, I won't give him food. You escalate the matter. Somebody is misbehaving. He's under influence. Instead of you as a good wife, before he comes back home, you've scattered everything they have planned. You've destroyed the altar of Baal. The government of God has been enthroned again. When he comes back, whatever way he misbehaved in the morning, He comes back now sober and sane. Greet you properly, unlike the way he left in the morning. Because we don't remember that life is spiritual. Life is strictly spiritual. It's not natural. So a lot of things that we see people misbehaving is because there are forces behind them. Oh, I'll never forget this testimony. But Harrison was the son-in-law of Kenneth Hagin. Sometimes I look at that now, whether he's actually a man. I know people used to think he was the fourth member of the Godhead. Reverend Kenneth Hagin. They used to think he was the fourth member of the Godhead. I don't understand. This is your son-in-law. He was so terrible in conduct. He will stand before his father and be blowing smoke of cigar in his face while the man is talking to him. And the man will not abuse him. Just be talking quietly and slowly. If it was you, you will have mistakenly slapped before you realized that your hand went up. Even slap is more, you will have boxed. You will have used artful words. Then he began to pray. And while he was praying, and not one day prayer, not 2 days prayer, and then he will come back again, he will smoke, blow smoke in your head. He said he noticed that the man was inconsistent in many things. If he gets a job, he won't keep the job for long. He will lose the job. They give him any responsibility, he will only do it for a short time, he will just lose it. He will run around with women, he will drink, he will smoke, he will do all kinds of nonsense. And it was this man's son-in-law. The way he was praying from one day, God just opened his eyes and told him that there are three spirits following body. He said that when you see him act this way, this particular spirit is influencing. When you see him going this way, this particular spirit is influencing him. So what should I do? He said, take authority over them. What was he doing? He was praying, he was in the spirit. So when you take authority over them, he said, in 10 days' time, you will get a job, and this time around, he will stay. Or like before, when he was inconsistent. Now, in the natural, you are looking at him, you are very responsible. But it's a spirit that's responsible. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. And if you don't pray, you will be acting in the flesh when you are dealing with spirits. You rebuke those spirits stop the activities. He said that exactly as what God said. He said, in 10 days' time, a job came. He said that he will keep that job until the next night for him. Guess what that next thing was? Ministry. So for a period of 2 years, he got a job. He was so well paid. He did so well. He was promoted to managerial status. He was doing so well, earning so much before God called him to ministry. That was God's original plan. And this is a man that was just messing up here and there. Well, because somebody prayed for him that he will walk straight. Or like Epaphras that was praying for the church at Colossae, that they will stand perfect and what? Complete in all the will. It's easier to complain and to criticize than to pray. But we are called to what? To pray. Jesus looked at Peter. Simon. Bro, Simon. Satan has desired to have you. I may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. That your faith may not fail. Your faith. He didn't say I prayed against Satan. I prayed for you. That you are my business. Satan will do what he wants to do. But I'm praying that whatever he wants to do, you will not respond. I pray that your faith will not fail. And when you have recovered, strengthen your brethren. That was the person Jesus was about to hand over the church to. How will you even feel as you are close to going? Right? How will you get better material? This person we're about to hand over the church to. And he's doing like this. Of all people to deny Jesus, it was Peter. The others didn't have opportunity, they ran. They didn't even stay for the exam. They disappeared. Everybody disappeared. Nobody was found. Even John disappeared. But Peter, who was the first to believe that Jesus was Messiah, Satan came after him. And Jesus said, I have prayed for you. That means that, yes, it will appear as though you have missed it, but you will recover. And when you recover, strengthen the others. Hallelujah. When it comes to praying for men, we persist in prayer. Just like when we are having a Holy Ghost meeting, let me say something, the power of God will be made manifest on Sunday. That men, whether men will receive or not, that's another matter entirely. That's about you and I praying for men. When we come to that kind of meeting with the atmosphere, someone sent me a voice note. The pastor, while the meeting was going on, now these are things that I myself had forgotten and God was saying. When the meeting was going on, you said, right now, the Spirit of God says that if you remove your glasses, you will see you can read well. He said it happened right in the meeting. I removed my glasses for the first time, I couldn't read my Bible well. But I didn't want to say anything. I waited till next morning in case I was imagining it. I woke up in the morning before I did anything else. I rushed my Bible. I was seeing very clearly. That was not for one person, it was for all. What it says to one, it says to all. But then you notice something about men, the inconsistency with men, whether they will jump in or not. That's where the issue is. Holy Ghost meeting last year, I pointed to a particular person. And I've always said this, that I'm pointing to somebody doesn't mean it's for them alone. I'm pointing to the person by the Spirit because I'm led or instructed to point that person, but you can jump in. And I say, this week, money is coming your way. Money came in foreign currency. Not just foreign currency. Enough money came to go study in the U.S. She's there now. She joins us online every service. And she didn't have a clue about how to get the money for. And then suddenly, after that word, her tuition was paid. Here now. When such things happen, it's not for one person. It's for as many as what? Jump in. The same God overall is what? Reach unto all and call upon him. So the reason why it's being pointed to one is to call the attention of the others that such things are available. I hope you understand. So God doesn't have a problem bringing, making power available. It's men that usually have a problem receiving. And usually they love distractions. That is the time when people are rejoicing and you just feel like, what is even itself? What is even itself? Must be laughing every Sunday. That's when those thoughts start coming. It's time to run now. That's how we ran last week. That's how it happens. A supply of the Spirit. What do you do? You pray for men that they be yielded, that they will stand in their place, that they will take advantage of God's power, that they will receive what God has planned and prayer for them. It's the same principle. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He has asked now. What he has asked for is here, not there to receive. He's not there to receive. And to tell you that's the truth, see, I've ministered to people before who forgot what they were believing for. Have you seen that kind of thing before? They forgot what they were believing for. You know, it doesn't look like it makes sense. You call the case, and the person you're talking to is looking at you like this. And he has forgotten he has a case. It's me. Like, where did you go before? You traveled. He's like, it's me. That's how fickle the mind of men can be. Now, that means God came, and the person that it's meant for is not even ready. Because the person has forgotten that there's such a situation. What do? We pray for men. Hallelujah. We pray that men will come. We pray that they will attend. We pray that the power of God will reach them. We pray that they will be yielded to God's power. I like that confession that is at the end of our video, that men will be vulnerable to God's power. I'm vulnerable to God's power. I'm prone to God's power. I'm yielded to God's power. God's power has free course in my life. Hallelujah. The Spirit has free course in my life. I'm yielded to the Spirit. I'm vulnerable to the things of the Spirit. I'm not resistant. I'm not reluctant. I'm yielded to the things of the Spirit. I'm yielded to visions and revelations of the Lord. I'm yielded to the flow of God's power. I'm not resistant to it. God's power flows through me freely. The will of God is done in my body and every area of my life. Hallelujah. Only men have the power and the right to resist God on the earth. Only men. Even Satan does not. And that's why Satan also uses men to resist God, because he can't directly. Only men have the power and the right to resist God on the earth. So we pray that the word of God will have free course and be glorified in the lives of men. Hallelujah. So that the message can be received the way it really is. It can be received. The word of God will have free course and will be glorified in the hearts of men. Hallelujah. That is how important it is. So we pray, we pray, we pray, we pray for men. We pray for men, we pray for men, we pray for men. Simon and Anna the prophetess were praying concerning Jesus. Sincerely speaking, I believe personally. But they were praying about Jesus. And they knew John had a role. Jesus' ministry. So I'm sure they were praying for people like Zacharias. Who will pray for something and resist it after? It was a prayer. The angel will have enough power to silence Zacharias. When he's misbehaving, just tell him shut up until it comes to pass. Don't spoil our plan. We've been praying for years now. You're asking, how will it be? How will what be? You say you are barren. You don't have child. You're asking for child. You're not saying, how will it be? You say, answer as concern, how will it be? Does that make any sense? That's how men can be. So you pray for men, Lord. Hallelujah. We pray for men, Lord. Glory to God. We pray for the ministers. We pray for people that will minister to. We pray for people that will be in attendance. We pray that those who ought to be in the meeting will also be what? In the meeting. We pray and cover all those areas. Pray for the technical team. We pray for. Why? We breathe prayer. There's a supply of the Spirit needed for every necessary use. Instead of complaining, I say, that brother. Why was he singing off key? Did you see that video of that lady that was singing? I said, I will not sing off key, Jesus' name. I love that lady.
Did you see the video? You see the video? She was about to go off. He said, I will not go. Why the brothers who say, hey, see the way, say, what's all this? Pray for them. Since the administration will affect you and affect others, what do you do? Pray for them. If you were standing in their shoes, not as easy as you think. So instead of sitting in the seat of the critic, sit in the seat of those who pray and make a supply of the Spirit available to be a blessing. It's amazing the things that happen. When you hear me say things like, pray for me, I'm simply following scriptures. Paul said, pray for us. When he said, pray for me, I will say the right words. I will yield to the Spirit. I'll be bold to minister all that God wants me to what? Minister. Listen, brothers and sisters, ministering requires boldness. To just walk up to people and just start saying things. Even when God has shown you, it takes boldness. Imagine Jesus. Go and call your husband. I don't have husband. How will you feel? You missed it. You missed it. And you see? Is that not how you feel with Jesus? Go and call your husband. I don't have husband. Just say, can you see how you miss it? What Jesus said? Yes, you are right. You have had 5 husbands. So, I don't have husband doesn't mean I've never had a husband. I don't have husband now, is what she was saying. That means Jesus was right. Go and call your husband was just to start the conversation. Go and call your husband. I don't have an husband. Say you have had 5, but the one you are with now is not your husband. That means many things. That can mean you are not married. It cannot mean this will not be husband 6. Hallelujah. How many times I say? It can mean I know you are not married to this person. It can also mean you are not going to marry this one. This will not be husband 6. But what you are looking for is what you are now found. You are looking for something and you can't find it in men. And no one was popular. Obviously, she was popular. If you have had 5 husbands, you'll be popular. Yes. Because when she went to the city, guess who followed that to Jesus? They were all men. What does that tell you? The Bible is a very interesting book. All the people that follow her, they didn't mention where say, how is it that she's evangelizing men? It was men that followed her. She took all the men of the city, that one woman. You wonder how come? The men followed that to Jesus. Men. They didn't mention woman there. That means she was popular. She was well known. Oh, you don't read things like that in your Bible. I read like that. When you said, the one you are with now is not your husband. Many things. I mean, there will be no husband 6. Or you are not yet married to this one. It can mean both. That can be a word of wisdom. Either you are with now is not thy husband. Don't bother. Stop it where it is now. Hallelujah. But the most important is that we need boldness to what? We need boldness to minister. And the bolder we are, the more the power of God breaks forth. The more the power of God breaks forth. That's why when it comes to men interacting with men, with regard to God's power, we need to pray men into God's will. We pray men to be submitted. We pray men to receive. We pray, blanket everything with prayer. Hallelujah. So this season, let me say this season, the way we are going, we likely are going to fast in February. Because this year is different though. And we need to get things running fast. I need to get you spiritually alert. So you don't go slack. This is not the time to fall asleep. You need to pray much this and pray out the future. Pray out the days that are coming. Pray out many things that God wants to do. Because wherever darkness is intense, light is even of a greater intensity. But the light will be inside you. So as you pray out, that the light begins to shine through the darkness. Hallelujah. And overcome every single challenge. Make up your mind. Say, I will not complain. I will not murmur. I will not dispute. I will simply pray. And pray. And then when I finish praying, I will start praying again. I will pray and pray more and more and more in all situations. Whether I have a point or I don't have a prayer point, I will simply keep praying. For praying itself in the Spirit is a point. Let's stand to our feet and pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray for Sunday service. We pray for the Holy Ghost meeting. We pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God's word will comfort strongly, mightily, in the name of the Lord Jesus.